Today's sermon was about things not to do. I had sent something to Paul on Facebook a while back, and I couldn't find it. It was some wisdom from the farmer. And a couple of the things on there was like, you know, like a John Deere tractor can't go faster than a herd of angry bees. what was the other one? It's usually better to plow around the stump. I found this one here. It was the cowboy's wisdom here. It says, always drink upstream from the herd. Use the best way to double your money is to fold it over and put it back in your pocket. if you think you're really somebody, try ordering somebody else's dog around. So I made my own list. There's things that I've learned over the years that I guess you don't really want to know. First thing is, if you're traveling on the road and your wife is following you in the car behind you, and it's really super thick fog out, don't try to pass. I'm here to tell you, bad things happen. If somehow it seems like a good idea to get on a skateboard and put a harness on the dog and let him pull you down the sidewalk, bad. Don't ask me how I know this. if you ever drop a gas tank from a vehicle, and it's like half full, because I'm a half full kind of guy, if you drop the gas tank and you get it on the ground and you want to pump the gas out, you use electric fuel pump and you dip it down in there, tape off your electrical connections. And the next one on the list is very similar to that. If things to never do, never set a gas tank on fire in James Holloway's garage. Bad. If this young lady named Wendy convinces you to drive her father's car, and she drives around the corner really fast and really scary, don't turn the ignition off while you're in the middle of a turn. Bad things can happen. And the thing is, God has given us this ability, this amazing ability to learn. And sometimes it comes from just listening and doing what we're told, and sometimes it comes from having an experimental faith. So I love talking to Paul, because sometimes he tells me things, you know, like, you know, you should never do this, this, and that. I'm like, Paul, it sounds like there's a story there. Another thing to never do is if Paul Hoffman clicks a music video on Facebook, don't click on it. You'll be singing that song in your head for a week. I still got this song, Bumblebees in the Hay. There's like a bass part that's rolling through my head. God has given us an amazing ability to learn, and we don't always appreciate that. And I was thinking today that sometimes the best lessons learned aren't always, you know, some college degree or, you know, I'm not knocking that because those are excellent, but just simple common sense. And I was looking for that. Get rid of that. If you go look at the Sermon on the Mount, this is Jesus here. If you look at his preaching style, he didn't give us some dissertation on some eschatological thing. What he did is when he reached out to people right where they were. It's a beautiful thing. This is in Matthew. This is the Sermon on the Mount. If you picture what's going on here, there was a big, giant hill, and they didn't have sound systems, they didn't have microphones, he didn't have a microphone on his ear. What they did is he stood on the top of the hill, and the sound would travel down across the hill, and it would make a natural auditorium. That's what he had. It's a beautiful thing. And so this big, huge congregation had gathered together to hear him speak, and the words that he gave were strictly just common sense. And he started out this way. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and when he had seated his disciples came, he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of the earth." So that they shall inherit the earth. Meek doesn't mean weak. Meek means being able to possessing great strength and knowing just the exact right amount of force to use in order to handle each situation. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if you look at all these people that are being blessed here, the ones that are being blessed are the poor, the ones who are mourning, the ones who are meek, the ones who are hungry and thirsty, the ones that are seeking mercy. If you're seeking mercy, that means you're enduring something that you're really not enjoying. And to extend mercy to someone is to extend grace to them, grace, something they don't deserve. He's saying, blessed are the ones who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. For blessed are the peacemakers, the ones who are in the midst of this trouble trying to find peace. So what he's saying here is there's chaos and there's turmoil and there's all these things going on, and God says, I will bless you. Blessed are you when they say revile and persecute you, and they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. This is us. This is you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, which gives its light to all who are in the house. This was common folks. This was just average people that Jesus was saying that you are a light, a city set on a hill. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Then he changes a little bit. He says, do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. It's not saying that I have this new gospel here, but what he is saying here is that this message changes, does not change, and he will fulfill it to the letter. And that we are part of that. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Again, it's common sense. It's wisdom. It's saying, look, if you want wisdom, keep it simple. Follow me. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, he gives us more common sense here. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, just to say you fool, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hellfire. See, don't be judgmental. Don't be mean. It says if you have a problem here. It says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and therefore remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Just like they told us today here. Forgiveness is part of healing. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and hand him over to the officer and you be thrown into jail. He says, assuredly I say to you, by no means will you get out of it until you have paid the last penny. So if you made an agreement to pay somebody, you owe that money, is what it's saying. You owe that to them. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery within his heart. Common sense. This is what I'm getting from this passage here. The Sermon on the Mount was just Jesus trying to give us a common sense message. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you to them one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Common sense. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. It says, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. And that's kind of a loaded statement there, but it's still common sense. There's a whole other sermon we could do on that, but another day. Again, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not swear falsely, but perform your oaths to the Lord. You know, if a person says to you, by God Almighty, I will make that happen, Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. You don't have the authority to do that. Nor by the earth, for it is the footstool. Nor by Jerusalem, it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than is from the whatever is more than these is from the evil one. It's common sense. Let your word be true. Say what you mean what you say. Simple. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, or a tooth for a tooth. Revenge. Revenge is awesome, right? But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn it other to him also. And if anyone wants to sue you, let him sue you. Take away your tunic. Let him also have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him for two. Give to him who asks from him, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. For you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Common sense. That's all Jesus is asking us to do is do just common sense. Don't be mean. Treat people the way you want to be treated. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And that's kind of where we were at earlier today with Sabbath School. It's like that we had this idea that God has no respecter of persons, and we don't know where they're at. I don't know what your struggle is. But this I do know. God has planted a seed inside of you. And he's gonna, as he sees fit, he's gonna water that plant, he's gonna make it grow, and he's gonna develop in you what he wants you to be. And it's not up to me to decide or how fast that happens. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Common sense. It just keeps going on and on here. It says, take heed for yourselves that you do not do for your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by men. Pat yourself on the back and look how wonderful I am. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they maybe have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly I say to you that they have the reward. It says, But when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It's common sense. Common sense. That's all he's looking for. Simply seeking God where you are. Don't overcomplicate things more than they have to be. Don't add things that need to be added. Christian faith is just a simple thing. It really is. It seems kind of complicated. You know, my kids know the answer to this question. You know how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's right. So we talk about in the Bible how we have to be prayer warriors. We have to pray. We have to read our Bible. We have to study. We have to go to prayer meeting. We have to go to church. We have to do this. We have to give our money. We have to do this. It's overwhelming when you look at the whole process, but when you take it simple, one piece at a time, right where you are, just as God wants you to be, it's easy. I mean, it really is. And then in this sermon, he teaches us how to pray. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." He's teaching us to pray. He's asking us, Father, let your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Place your prayer request before him. There's no magic in saying these words exactly, just how you see them written down. If you say them 9 times or 10 times, does it make a difference? No, that's not the point. The point is to seek our Father. Go to him with what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. The thing, except for the things that we're asking for, the things that we need. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, now this one here I just find really fascinating because it's saying, Father, please forgive me the same way I forgive other people. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It just goes on and on. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not much more value than they are? This Sermon on the Mount, it's a beautiful thing. It's just simply about common sense. And there's lessons that we can learn along the way. There's other lessons that I've learned along the way. Still learning along the way. Never let your family think that they don't love you or you don't love them. I can see that backwards. Never let your family think that they don't, that you don't love them. Never get so busy that you don't have time for God. Never take your eyes off the Lord. The sermon isn't this big thing of, and I don't know, I'd look up the big fancy religious words here. I had hermeneutics, homiletics, eschatology. And they're all good things. They are. But if we're not good at just the simple things, the devil's in the details. And if you can manage the little things, spend time with the Lord. Pray. Do open the Word. Let it sink in, and let it have a practical application. You know how much God loves you? And we have no idea how much God, the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of how much God loves you. He was willing to send, Jesus was willing to die on the cross for our sins. He's preparing a place for in heaven for us right now. He's allowing us to grow and to learn and to survive. When you discover that your Nova, that your 1977 Nova can fly through the air, and you survive, God is good. He's very good. By the way, my father still doesn't have the whole story on that one, but he's getting more and more pieces as we get older here. But it's sort of like that car there, you know, that the car, it wasn't that nice. It wasn't that valuable. And at the end of the day, we got it fixed. It was more important that we were okay. And that's what he really cares about. Our Father in heaven genuinely cares about you, not so much how far you ran or what you did or what kind of thing you broke. In the end, that's just going to be destroyed in the fires. But we, his chosen ones, the ones, any person who comes to him and says, Father, deliver me, he's preparing a place in heaven for you. You are precious and is very precious in his sight. And so, I just wanted to end today that peace and contentment come with wisdom. And this is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to Proverbs chapter 9. Does it matter where you are, what station in life you have, what you've been through, what you've done, where you've gone, who you've seen, who you've met? Who doesn't matter? Because right now is the most important time for God to get busy in your life. This is the beginning of wisdom. This is Proverbs chapter 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, that's God, your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you. How precious are you in God's sight? Yeah, that's my phone. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm having a bad day. Our Father in heaven has a very special interest in you. He wants for you to live, have life in his fullness, and to be ready when he comes. He's going to provide for you everything that you need, everything that you need. And not only that, he will let you not suffer, but he'll let you experience the things in the life that will make you what you need to be. Sometimes just handing us something isn't what we need, but letting us go through an experience will sharpen us, make us better, and make us ready. And I'm truly thankful for every experience. I'm not thankful that Brother Ron here was sick at all, but how could we not look at the outcome of this and say, wow, our God is awesome. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're unsure about, whatever struggle it is you have this day, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer and trust that he will answer us in the way that he sees fit. Because in the end, he's honest, he's just, he's fair, and he can be trusted. And I just love that about him. Amen.